With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
People seem to enjoy last week's segment in regards to debating Penrith and the Roosters back-to-back. So we thought we'd bring that little segment back. This week, it is the 2010 Dragons Premiership winning side versus the 2016 Sharks Premiership winning side. I thought this was a good match because there's been enough time now. They've all established their careers. But it's also like two teams that they weren't powerhouses at the time. Like, obviously, the Dragons were to a degree with Wayne there. But it's not like, when you look at the dominance over the last 10 years or so, it's, you know, Storm, Roosters, and pretty much Penrith. Like, that's really... Whereas these are two sides where I think it's actually going to be quite an even exchange of who we'd have until soon. Anyway, so the Cronulla Sharks side, 2016. Ben Barber at fullback. Fecky on the wing. Bird in the centres. Latelli centres. Valentine Holmes on the wing. Jimmy Maloney at six. Townsend 7, Fifita 8, Michael Ennis 9, Matty Pryor prop. Then we've got Luke Lewis, Wade Graham in the back row, Paul Gallen at lock. Then you've got Beal on the bench, Heinington, Tungatizi, Bakuya, Coach Shane Flanagan. Then for the Dragons, we have Darius Boyd at fullback, Brett Morris, Mark Gasnier, Matt Cooper, Nightingale, Soward. Ben Hornby, Neville Costigan at 8, Dean Young at 9, Michael Wayman at 10, Bo Scott at 11, Ben Cray at 12, Jeremy Smith at 13, Fien, Merrin, Pryor, and Safi make up the bench with Bennett as the coach. Boys, I'll go to you first, Timmy.
Oh.
If these two play each other, who wins the grand final?
It's a tough time each week since we brought these in. I know it's only been 2 weeks, but it's been tough.
Been rolling around in bed thinking about it every night.
Mate, I lean towards the Dragons of 2010. And as I said, they're two quite similar sides, so I think a lot of their dominance came off the back of their defence, like most premiership-winning teams are, but I think you would argue their attacks both solid enough without being too flamboyant, without being, you know, mesmerising like some of the other grand final winning teams we've seen in the past. We look at the Dragons and they conceded 299 points in 2010. The next best defence to that was the, oh, dear Lord, the Warriors. 486.
Warriors!
The second best. But yeah, so there's a 187 point difference between the Dragons and the second best defensive team in the comp. The Sharkies were good. They conceded 404 points. That same year, the Storm were 302. And they were the third best defensive team in the competition. So similar enough in the way they played their footy and what they had the back of their success off. And you go through some of the names in that Dragons outfit, it is just an absolute rock-solid defensive outfit, isn't it? Some of the best defensive... You start at, I mean, the centres, Gadding and Cooper, you could argue the two best defensive centres the NRL scene, you know, pretty close to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Darius, one of the best organising fullbacks in the game. Neville Costigan, the enforcer. Mickey Wayman, the big boy up front. Ben Cray, Bo Scott, two of the best defenders in the game. Jeremy Smith, like, you look at all those players and you don't go, oh, remember that try he scored or the points that you go, all just like ruthless dog defenders. Now, it could go for days, and we probably will, to be fair, but I think the Dragons win off the back of their defence in this game.
I think that Dragons team, I think they are the most consistent team we've ever seen.
Even more than Penrith?
Oh, I reckon in that one season in 2010, you could write a script for every single game. You knew what was going to happen. They were just going to get in the grind. They would earn a penalty. Sowie had kicked three penalty goals before they kick a goal. If they finished a set in their own half, Sowie would kick it dead. They'd get ready on their 20-metre line, and it was rinse and repeat. You went through that whole side. And, like, you've got guys like Brett Morris, Gaznia, Cooper, who, you know, unbelievably consistent guys, but it's probably unfair of Brett Morris. When you think Brett Morris, you don't think about the huge highlights. You just think about how consistent he was.
Like, he has them for sure. Like, he has them. Yeah, but
you don't. If you think Brett Morris and GI, you think of very different things.
Yeah, for sure.
You get to the halves, like Hornby. I'm not even sure if he was a halfback. He was just a good footballer. He was a good footballer.
Was a fullback initially, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Moved into seven,
and he was just a utility that could play anywhere. You know, played halfback. Jamie Soward. I still think he's one of the most underrated guys to play. His kicking game was unbelievable. I think he's got the best, the most well-rounded kicking game. Short kicks, long kicks, and they essentially won this premiership off Soward's boot.
Would you say, Guru, that am I in a little bit off? So that the rule that was introduced in 2014 for the dead ball line, where the seven tackle set.
Yep, the Jamie Soward rule.
Yeah, the Jamie Soward rule. That's what I was going to say. So that was obviously 2010, so a few years after, but it was off the back of what you just said.
Yeah, so it was off the back of they'd play Slater, they'd play Hayne, they go, we can't deal with you.
Yeah, when Wayne's the Broncos, he would just go, if we had Slater, just kick it dead. Yeah.
It was awful, but it was so effective. And it's easy to say it, it's nothing to do it. And Soward had that enormous boot, and that's how they did it. Like, he could, you know, clear the fullback's head by 20 metres from his own 30-metre line. It was unbelievable. So, you know, we talk about game-changing players. Now, James Soward's not going to go down as an NRL great as such, but his boot essentially changed a law in NRL, which has changed the game forever.
Yeah, it's true. Like, he definitely doesn't get the raps he deserves, especially for the role he played in that side.
The other one doesn't get the raps in this team is Darius Boyd when he was at the Dragons. He was incredible.
That was his best footy.
That was he was a 3-on-2. He didn't get it wrong for 2 years. It was unbelievable. He just executed it perfectly every single time. Darius Boyd obviously got the Clive Churchill in that game. I honestly don't think there's too many teams that would be able to beat this Dragons side in 2010
in that rule
on
set,
that day
on the rule set
on those rule sets. With Wayne Bennett as coach.
Yeah, it'd be tough. Look, I reckon Dragons get the job done, but I mean, this Sharky side, especially the forward pack, like Luke Lewis, Wade Graham, Paul Gallen for feeder. Fuck.
Kurt Catewell couldn't get a start. I know he's younger, but still.
Still. I think the Dragons just get the job done. Now, I think it's a very different conversation, though, if you have that seven tackle set rule in, because it would change the game plan. Yeah. Of the Dragons quite substantially. What do you got there, Manny?
No, I'm just going to say I'm going against Oya. I'm going Sharkies 2016. Just off the back of their four pack, I think Fifita was the best prop in the world at the time and was literally untouchable. Matt Pryor had his best year.
Incredible year.
And then on the edges, he got Lewis and Graham, and then he got Gow. I think the backs, St. George, pretty much obliterate him. But then you look at the spines, there's going to be, when we go position by position, there's going to be two very, very contentious calls over probably fullback and 5'8". But you look at Sharkies, Barber was absolutely killing it. You got Maloney, but I think the big one is Mick Ennis at hooker. It was possibly his best year in his last year in his career. I think he set up about 20, 25 tries. It's tough, but just off the back of those forwards, I'm going Sharks.
I think it's also interesting when you have a look at that Shark side. Like, when I look at that Dragon side, the most consistent, they played a little bit of a boring brand. If there's one guy I think could be there, Kryptonite, it's probably the 5'8 for Cronulla, James Maloney. Just the way that he played.
And even for Feeder, the way he would bust teams apart with his crazy ball running.
Yeah. Did you ever play with Neville Costigan?
He was at the club when I was at the club, so I played like resis with him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's a maniac. So look, this is a tough one to say because that rule, that one rule could change everything.
Changed a lot.
It would be a super close grand final though. But let's go into the top 17 then. Top 17. Fullback, Ben Barber or Darius Boyd? I am going to go Darius Boyd, but on his day, his best day, I would choose Ben Barber. But because of the consistency of his career and the likelihood of Darius playing really well, I'm going to go Darius.
So Ed, to clarify some rules early, are we basing them on this season alone, surely? So Darius is 2010 v Ben Barber's 2016. Is that how we're doing it?
Well, no, because then there might be some unfair, you know, like, did Cooper have the biggest year? Matt Cooper, but we're going to select him, and yet Jack Bird was, like, fucking amazing that year. So I just think the general gist is like, their careers, essentially.
Can I get Ben Barber in, was it 09? Did he went, no, 12. It was 12.
No, 2012. You can't pick another year specifically.
Well, that's where you're working out, isn't it?
That's what I said. Specifically, Ben Barber at his peak, you're going to pick him every other week.
Yeah.
But Darius Boyd, consistency, like the high level he played at, especially at the Dragons, I'd probably go Darius. What do you guys got?
What do you got, Tim?
I'm Darius. Yeah. Every day.
I'd go Darius as well, obviously. As you said, Barber's got that high, those highs, but I'd go for Darius.
I think Barber's 2016 season is very underrated, but I'm still going Darius because A, you won the Clive, I'm pretty sure, and B, like Todd, that was the Carney Army year, 2010, but everyone forgets Darius was 2 points behind him on the Dally M count. He nearly won the Dally M that year as well. So, yeah, I'm just for that 2010 season. Yeah, for all your reasons stated, I'm going Darius.
All right, now on to the Sting. Fecky, we'll do all wingers because like then you can swap them in. So you've got Fecky and Holmes, and you've got Morris and Nightingale. I will be going Brett Morris and Holmes. And Gypsy, I love Gypsy. Fuck, he was good.
Very unlucky to miss out. Yeah.
He was so wiry and like he'd break so many tackles. He's not even big. So good. But I'm going Brett Morris, Valentine Holmes.
Yeah, I think I'd pick B. Moz in any team I could possibly pick. So he definitely gets in. And then I think you've got to take Val Holmes over the other ones.
Yeah, B. Moz by a mile. And then Val just ahead of Nightingale.
I'm the same. But if you're comparing the pair of wingers, the Dragons win. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm going Morris.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's
I'm going
a good point.
Morrison.
That's a really good point. When you compare them together. Yeah. Okay, so we've got Boyd. And then we've got B-Moz. And Holmes.
Yeah.
Okay, now the centers. Again, you can just do both. You've got Bird Latelli. You've got Cooper Gasnier.
Cooper Gasnier.
So far, we've only got one Sharks player. Now we go to the halves. This one's fucking so tough. So you got Jamie Soward and Jimmy Maloney. Oh, look. Oh, fuck. Because like that season, in the impact and the way he played, he changed the game. I think I love Soward as a player, but I'm going to have to go Jimmy Maloney just because the amount of premierships that he brought to clubs. Even though like if you looked at their stats in that as a game, like of them specifically, you probably find Sowie would outdo him most weeks. But it's just like he won three premierships at three different clubs and then got the Warriors to a grand final, Maloney. So Jimmy Maloney just pips Sowie for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, Jimmy is a winner. That's just what he does. So I love Sowie too. And as I said, I think he's got one of the best kicking games ever. But Jimmy, just his mindset and everything to do with his game, I'd go with Maloney.
Jimmy.
See, I got Maloney on the bench of my team of the decade, but I'm still going Sowie for this purely because I think that Soward was the most important piece to the 2010 premiership puzzle. And while Maloney was extremely, extremely important and achieved so much in his career, if we're comparing grand final teams, I'm just going Sowie was so important to that team.
Okay, Sowie, that's fair. Now the half, this is even fucking harder. Ben Hornby, Chatty Townsend. Oh, fuck, I don't know. I'm going to go you guys first.
I'd go Hornby, slightly.
Yeah, I'm Ben Hornby.
Ben Hornby?
Yeah.
It's tough, and I'm kind of just throwing a name here, but yeah, I'll probably go Hornby as well.
Really? Interesting. Townsend has gone to another club, the Cowboys, and made him a premiership threat.
You know what? I changed my mind. I'm going Townsend.
Really?
I forgot about that he also had that time it was just kind of cool how it all happened with Townsend. He came back
from the
Sharks, came back from the Warriors, and was really important in turning them around. And now you're right, what he's done with the Cows, he's gone Townsend.
I guess you got to ask yourselves, could Ben Hornby go to another club and have the impact that Townsend had? Now, that's very unfair because, like, different clubs, different teams, rah-rah. Oh. Far out.
Oh, man, Ben Hornby was the beating heart of that Dragons.
Yeah, he was. But the only problem is like, he's a fullback until those first 2 years.
For sure,
that Wayne got
but,
there.
Like, the argument is there that Wayne, like, he could have gone out and signed any halfback he wanted to come play for him in a team that was going to win a comp. He stuck with Ben Hornby.
Yeah, he went. I know there were a lot of games. Played 3 games for the Blues. Had a test for Australia. Chad Townsend's never even in those conversations.
How dare you? He's in the conversation for me. The great Chad Townsend. Chadwick. I'll go Ben Hornby. But I just, yeah, fuck. That's a
that
tough.
That one hurt you, didn't it?
That hurt, man. Because it's a tough one. You just like... I don't think Townsend gets enough credit, man. I really don't. Okay, now, on to the big boppers. Andrew Fifita or Neville Costigan?
You got to go Fifita. I honestly think there's an argument that, you know, as you know, a season for a front rower, that might have been the most destructive we've ever seen of a front rower.
It might have been the best grand final performance by a front rower we've ever seen, like one of.
I think it would be mine, yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Fifita. Like in that grand final, he should have been a Clive Churchill medal winner, but in strife off the field, so didn't get it. But he was just so... He was unbelievable that season for a few years there, wasn't he? So sorry to Big Nev, and don't hurt me, mate, but Andrew Fifita.
If we're comparing this Sharks 16 team to any team, I feel like Fifita is going to make my front row. So unbelievable that year. It was... probably the best forward in the game at the time.
You could, if you were like looking at the grand final and just the season that he had, and you were looking at any other grand final team, Fifita could nearly make it against any team ever. That's how good he was in that. So I'm going for Fifita as well. But what we'll do is we'll do front row pairing. So number 10, Michael Wayman. And then you've got the other prop is Matty Pryor.
Shout out to Matt Pryor. He played in both of these grand finals.
Yes, he did. He did off the bench. Who you going, Michael Wayman, Matty Pryor?
I think I would go with Matt Pryor then. I think his season, as Matty said before, his season at Cronulla was unbelievable. Wayman, he was a real toiler,
Wayman.
Wasn't he?
I'm going Wayman.
You going Wayman?
Yeah, I thought he was fucking so important for them. Neville was never even really a front rower. He was more of a back rower, like a lock.
That's this team, though. They were just a good 17 together. Oh, okay. I'd go with Matty Pryor, though.
Yeah, my allegiance lies with the horse, Mickey Wayman.
Yeah, the big fella.
Maruya Shark product, the horse. he's old boy Ack Wayman. That's what the Maruya Oval is named after, the old boy. So, mate, I'm Mick Wayman. You said Benny Hornby's the heart of that side. Well, the horse was the soul. So I'm Mick Wayman.
I was pretty certain Timmy would go Mickey Wayman for that reason. But also because I think... there may be still a bit of feelings lingering about how Matt Pryor destroyed the Raiders in that 2016 finals game. Ooh. Down there. And that was definitely his best game of the year, and he just came out.
Was
I think
when Gale was Gale injured or something like that, or he went off?
It was the game Townsend got hooked.
Yeah.
It was that game. I don't think Gale played, to be honest.
Yeah, he was injured or something.
Something like that,
and
yeah.
And Pryor just stepped
Pryor
up and
stepped
killed.
Up and just destroyed. And yeah, Pryor got their player of the year, equal player of the year that year as well. Mm. See, I'm going with Matty Pryor.
Yeah, Matty Pryor. Wow, split. First split. Okay. Dean Young, McInnes. Dean Young in another position, like probably. Number 9, though, I'm going McInnes.
Yeah, it has to be Innes.
Yep, Innes.
Yep, McInnes.
Now, the back row.
Yeah, some Dragons fans blowing up on that one that we brushed it as well quickly.
Because he's a club.
Club legend, yeah, Dean Young, yeah. That's all right, though.
That's all right. You can have your opinion in the comments. Just keep it respectable. Now, the back row. Ooh, this is going to be tough. Luke Lewis, Wade Graham versus Bo Scott, oof. Ben Cray.
Good one.
I know what I'm going.
Oh.
I'm going Luke Lewis and Benny Cray.
I think Luke Lewis is automatic for me.
Yeah, Luke Lewis is a guarantee.
The other one that's tough. Mate, fuck, Bo Scott was a good footballer. I loved everything about Bo Scott. Wade Graham, though, so much upside in him. Uh-huh. I'd probably lean towards Bo Scott, to be honest with you. I was a huge
Bo Scott.
Fan.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I'm Luke Lewis and Bo Scott. Not a lot in it at all, but going through the Dragons team, and you look at, we often refer to blokes that you just want at your club and playing around, and one that's come to mind recently has been sort of John Bateman and what he does for the rest of that club, and the bloke that it'd kill you to let him down on the field. Going through the Dragons roster, from Jeremy Smith to Bo Scott to Mick Wayman and Neville Koskin, Dean Young, Ben Hornby, like, it'd kill you to let down any. Like, there must have been so much just pride and passion at this club at the time. Bo Scott was, you know, aside from, he whacked blokes, but he wasn't like a highlights real back rower, but holy shit, he was tough. Like, during that, what would it have been, that around 2010, I suppose, era, when the Blues were flush with back rowers. You know, who was there? Glenn Stewart.
Luke Lewis would have been there.
Was
he there yet? He's still on the wing, maybe. Anyway.
Birdie, Chock Watmo, all these blokes, and Bo Scott kept a lot of them out for a long time. He was so good. So, yeah, I'm Bo Scott and Lukey Lewis.
And then when they worked out they couldn't stop GI, they also turned to Bo Scott.
I think as well, I think Jamie Soward would be happy that Bo Scott was in his pocket.
He's great point. Great point, yeah.
So no Benny Kralov.
Oh, I mean, they're four. I mean, we haven't even spoken about Wade Graham yet.
Yeah, and by the way, my two are Luke Lewis and Wade Graham for sure. I think that left, I love Wade Graham, but that left side, he's that ball playing edge that he was with Barber swooping around and Bird outside. It was just such a dangerous side.
And there is, I say Ben Cray, because when we're doing videos, especially the Broncos, like he was, we just watched fucking clips of him steamrolling blokes, like steamrolling blokes. Benny Cray's best was outstanding.
And I think a lot of people do forget the peak of Ben Cray. Those 2 years or so,
it was outrageous. So good. He was like absolutely decimating sides. To be honest, Luke Lewis is the only lock in out of the four in my opinion.
Well, there's three other options, and we've all picked one of them.
They're all such different back rowers. You look at Luke Lewis, line runner. Wade Graham, playmaker. Bo Scott, enforcer. Ben Cray, big work rate, you know, ran a good line.
Also, whichever 5'8 you pick, Maloney or Soward, I'm putting Bo Scott next to either of them, though.
Fair. Okay. Now, 13, Jeremy Smith, Paul Gallen. I think we all go Gal.
It's Gal, yeah, but fuck, Jeremy Smith is a good player. I'd pick him on my bench for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we all go on Gal?
Yeah, G-Train.
The G-Train. Now we go to the bench. You got Nathan Fein or Jared Beale?
I'd probably go with Fien, personally. Obviously, did he play for New Zealand and for Queensland? I think he did. I think he was one of those rare cases. But
he did definitely play for, because he became a citizen, I think, of New Zealand when he moved to play with the Warriors.
Yeah, he did. He played for both.
He's sort of one of the unsung heroes in this Dragon side. He used to come on and give them really good spark. I would go with Nathan Fien.
Nathan Fien.
Nathan Fien by a mile.
Yeah, definitely Nathan Fien for this one.
And go on the Fien dog. Love Billy. Great bloke, but I'd go the Fien dog. Now, Trent Merrin or Chris Heinington? Should we just like these next three players just like mix it up? Because like...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, I mean, Trent Merrin is a wide running forward to a degree back then as well. Oh, this is so tough, this one. Holy shit. What are these boys going?
I'd probably lean towards Trent Merrin at his best.
Yeah, at his best, I'm Trent Merrin as well. It's a really difficult one, but that also speaks volumes of that Dragon, both the packs, but particularly the Dragons one, because Trent Merrin at his best was probably the best lock forward in the NRL. Like, his footwork at the line, he had an unbelievable offload, and unfortunately, I think he, for whatever reason, he's the back end of his career, it petered off quite quickly. And I don't know if people sort of think of that, but he was so good at his best. And if we're talking longevity, Chris Heinington was so good for many years. But Trent Merrin for me.
And two really key guys, I would imagine, in the locker room.
Yeah, for sure. This is fucking
similar
tough.
Similar personalities and everything.
Yeah.
The
cracker
boys,
blokes, yeah.
Yeah, Merrin at his best. Like, Heinington definitely had a better career, for sure. But I think Merrin at his best. Like, Merrin played his best footy long enough to be counted as, like, you know, he could play really good footy for long periods of time.
Yeah.
I got Merrin, but nothing else to add. Just agreeing with what all you said.
Trent Merrin also brought Sally Fitz to the club, which that has to be a notch on his belt. That was mad.
Sam Tungatizi or Matt Pryor?
I don't know if I can pick Matt Pryor twice in this side.
I'm going Matty Pryor.
Yeah, I think I'd go Matt Pryor as well.
Pryor.
Right?
Yeah, I'd go Matt Pryor, but again.
There was a period there Tungatizi was a fucking weapon in defence. He used to come on and absolutely fold blokes. He came through, I think he came through the Melbourne Storm system, actually, when I was coming through as well. So we're coming through around the same age. And he was scary in Q Cup. Like, if you're playing the Norse Devils, again, I hope I'm remembering correctly, fuck, he would just fold blokes for fun.
Regardless, he was a scary bloke.
Oh, yeah. Man. Jared Saffy or Bakuya?
Just confirming, yeah, he was at Melbourne.
Yeah.
I would lean towards Bakuya here.
See, this is where we probably could have said, oh, I'll chuck Chris Heinington on the bench out of the three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd lean towards Bakuya, but it's a much for muchness, like, you know.
I think your bench is probably a pretty clear. Fien, correct me if I'm wrong, Fien, Merrin, Hyington, and Pryor.
Yeah, I think that's a bench.
They're the standout four, I think, of those eight.
Wow. That was a mixed bag. Had some different answers, different positions.
Don't you answer, because you'll probably know. How old do you reckon Neville Costigan is?
I know how. I'm pretty sure I know how old he is.
I think you do, yeah. How old do you reckon he is?
I would have said, like, he retired a while ago, so I would have said, like, I don't know, 37.
Yeah, I thought he'd be much older than what he is. He's only 37, yeah. It felt like when he was at the Dragons, he was already one of the most experienced guys around.
Because, like, Neville Costigan, when he came through, especially for Queensland, like, he was a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. Faded a little bit towards the end of his career, but he was, like, the next Carl Webb. You know, and the great Carl Webb. Hope he's doing okay, the big fella.
Imagine lugging a ball up and having to choose between Neville Costigan, Bo Scott, or Jeremy Smith to get hit by. If not all three.
Mate, fuck that shit. So there you have it, guys. Let us know in the comments section. Who do you think wins, Dragons or Sharks? 2010 Dragons, 2016 Sharkies. And then let us know your team as well. What did we get right? What did we get wrong? Guys, 50 for 50 sale, February 1st, 6 p.m., brand new bloke shirts dropping. This Wednesday will be the first reveal of the brand new shirts, Wednesday 6 p.m. But the sale is February 1st, which is next Wednesday, at 6 p.m. 50% off everything for 50 hours. Got anything to say, boys? Beers and break even?
Beers and break evens. We're back Wednesday and Thursday this week and on the hunt for sponsorship. So we'll put it there, our email in the description. Yeah, reach out.
Awesome. Reach out, guys.
Thanks to your generosity, mate. SC Playbook in the studio this year.
Mate, SC Playbook in the studio.
Bloke studio. So we're going onto YouTube. We're clipping it up. So a few head reveals for a few contributors. And yeah, we'll be on your YouTube.
Mate, how good. Moving up in the world. This state-of-the-art studio. But as usual, I'll go and fuck myself. Thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.